Hey, wake up. New drinks just dropped at Wendy's. Cold foam, cold brew coffee, and sparkling energy. Both the caramel and the chocolate cold foam are just, so good. And the pineapple citrus and cherry limeade sparkling energy each have
80 to 120 milligrams
of added caffeine. So whether you need a treat first thing or to just stop yawning already, mornings hit different. To pick up a new pick-me-up, gotta be Wendy's. At participating U.S. Wendy's.
Trying to lose weight? It's time to try Hers. At forhers.com/foryou, you can access affordable, doctor-trusted weight loss treatments tailored just for you. These include oral medication kits or compounded GLP-1 injections. Through Hers, pricing for oral medication kits start at just $69 a month for a 10-month plan when paid in full upfront. No hidden fees, no membership fees. You shouldn't have to go out of your way to feel like yourself. Hers brings expert care straight to you with 100% online access to personalized treatment plans that put your goals first. Reach your weight loss goals with help through Hers. Get started at forhers.com/foryou to access affordable, doctor-trusted weight loss plans. That's forhers.com/foryou, forhers.com/foryou. Paid for by Hims and Hers Health. Weight loss by Hers is not available everywhere. Compounded products are not FDA approved or verified for safety, effectiveness, or quality. Prescription required. Restrictions at forhers.com. Apply.
Word got out and I started applying to clubs up in Aspen, and I got like private music venues. Like one night Snoop Dogg and Nelly came to town and I got to like work their table and act the different actresses when they would come to town. So now I'm doing high end stuff and making more money doing it. But in 2018, right after my book came out, I overdosed on cocaine. I had kidney failure. And I was taken to the hospital and was hospitalized for 6 days and didn't know if my kidney function was going to come back. They were talking about possible transplant or death or maybe miraculously your kidney will start functioning normal. I was hooked up to IVs. They were flushing my system.
Did you have dialysis? Was it that bad?
It wasn't. That would have been the next step. I was like stage 4 kidney failure. And I think like stage 5 is like you need dialysis or a transplant or death. It's called rhabdomyolysis is what I was diagnosed with. Rhabdomyolysis is when your body gets extremely dehydrated, it releases toxins into your blood, which shuts down your kidney function. So, but I got it. Some extreme athletes or like soldiers, you know, that are out training, they experience this sometimes, and sometimes people die from it. But mine was induced from cocaine toxicity, because that's enough.
Was this your rock? Do you think this was your rock bottom?
Just about, you know, I had this conversation with my wife actually yesterday, because she's been hearing me do podcasts and I talk about 2018 and when I overdosed, and really when that happened, you know, and me and my higher power, I was just like, please let me walk out of here. I'll be of service. Like, I'm all in. I didn't want to lose my wife and my son. I didn't want to do this to another family. And so, yeah, like as soon as I got out, I was volunteering in the jail and I was doing Bible study. I started my jail and street ministry. And then that opened up a second county jail. I was going to AA. I discovered recovery coaching. I got my first certification as a recovery coach. Then we went out of town, 19, and I thought I could have a glass of wine. There's a lot more to the story, but I justified having a glass of wine, and I'm just starting. I'm a volunteer, like in two different jails. I'm volunteering at the parole department, working with guys. Like, who better to help guys that are coming out of prison than a guy that's been there and done that, right? And so I'm starting to build new relationships in our community, starting to like get some status as like, you know, like this reformed guy. We go to Atlantic City and I fall off the wagon. Yeah, it was not a good scene. And by the way, my wife had left me. Like, I guess I didn't share this, but in 2012, met a beautiful woman. We got pregnant. We have a son together. We got married. So I've been married we've been married now 13 years. We have a 12-year-old at home. But she, you know, she was putting her foot down. But she loved me. She saw the potential in me, but she wasn't going to tolerate it. I mean, it was my drug use really. I put her through a lot of trauma, and it put a huge strain on our relationship. I'm so blessed that she's still with me. In 2020, I went to work for one of the two treatment providers in our community. They were starting this new mobile recovery coach team where they're going to send people into the community, right? And have conversations with them and, you know, try to get them hooked up with services. So this is where, like, my model.
This is homeless people?
Homeless people. If a guy's getting out of jail, like if the jail calls us, me meeting them at the gate, maybe they don't know how to, like, maybe they've never been on the bus before and they don't have a car, like getting on the bus with them and showing them the bus route, taking them over to Social Security to apply for food stamps, right? Or just listening to them.
But everything that was on the list that you had before, right, that you weren't able to do because you didn't have transportation?
Yeah. Well, exactly. Like, what if we could, it's like, what if we could meet them day one at the gate? Or what if somebody just gets back from treatment, right? Like treatment's good. Like, let's go to let's learn the skills. Let's get an education. Let's get us some sobriety time. But when you come back to the community, like, it's fast paced, right? Like, either you're going back to work or there might be like one meeting, like at a specific time that, like, you hope you can make. And this is where I got introduced to the whole concept of recovery coaching. And like, in my mind, it was like, oh, they're going to, because my only reference was like a sponsor from AA to NA. So I'm thinking they're going to teach me how to, like, be a good sponsor. And they just kind of put a package together and they're charging $500 and I'm going to get a certificate, right? But it wasn't that. It was like, hey, there's multiple pathways to recovery. And just because I took a certain path and I can share with you my lived experience, but my job as a coach isn't to project my path onto you and tell you, if you don't do it my way, then I can't help you.
Well, that's my job. Because what worked for me was different for Heidi, was different for you. And someone listening may hear from a guest that what we did doesn't work for them, but they find it in somebody else.
Yeah. You know, that whole concept of, like, there's multiple pathways to recovery. And you know, my job as a coach is to come alongside you and look at you as you're your best resource. Like, what do you want to go explore? What do you want to go look at? You know, and like letting you make your own decisions, but walking alongside you, not carrying you on my back or not like pushing you into a meeting, but like coming along with you on your journey and also kind of being what I call like a resource broker, right? Like saying, hey, there's this meeting or there's this therapist or there's, you know, meditation or there's yoga or there's, you know, like what do you want to explore? Like what's attractive to you? You know, asking good questions, learning about motivational interviewing, right? Active listening. And so it really spoke to my heart. And, but I relapsed in 2020, but I got a call from the nightclub to go work for a weekend. And I had over a year clean and I thought, I can do this. And they were going to pay me, like, you know, good money. They wanted me to work 3 nights. It was like President's Day weekend or something. Cause my sobriety date is February 21st of 2020. That's the last time I used to be trans. When you guys are getting the long version, when I talk to people, I like to state, and I do believe that I got into recovery really in 2018. When I overdosed, that's when I was all in for recovery. Now, I did relapse.
It's part of the journey.
Yeah, relapsing is definitely part of the journey.
Yeah. Yeah. And I share that, like, in the prisons too, because I used to be that guy. Like, when I relapsed, it was like I wasn't even going to try. Like, I guess I can't. I would just give up, right? And my message today is like, hey, it's, you know, not that I'm condoning you to go out and use again, but if you relapse, just thank God that you're still alive and brush your shoulder off, get some help, get plugged back in, and like, let's try again. Like, you, like, this is doable.
Well, I mean, that's what happened to me. I went to, you know, rehab twice in 2023, and it ended up rehab last summer, 2024. That's when I been sober since. So it took a lot of trial and error, you know, but each time I learned something else, right?
Yeah. Well, and we call that recovery capital, right? It's like capital in the bank, right? Like, yeah, I might have relapsed, but let's reverse engineer this relapse. Like what happened? Like the relapse started before you actually picked up. Like what actually happened that led up to this? Like, let's look at that. And if we can understand what happened, then maybe next time when you find yourself in similar circumstances, we don't have to do that again because we know where this is going to get us, right?
Something.
At one of the rehabs I went to after I relapsed, I went back and it's called the relapse autopsy track. So it's like three weeks.
I like that.
You analyze what happened, you know, weeks before you even picked up anything.
Was that helpful?
Anything. You see the pattern. You see where your mind is moving away from where it should be. You know, so like I said, it was something building the foundation. I relapsed several times after that until I was sober, but each time I learned something different, right?
Absolutely. You know, and I always say like, you know, because often when we relapse, right, and we mess with our brain chemistry, and I'm like, I tell guys, you're going to feel like shit the next week. You're gonna be depressed. You're gonna feel like crap. Your dopamine, you mess with your brain chemistry, but you just ride this out because you can do this. You're gonna feel better soon. But this is a growth opportunity, man. This could be the beginning to the rest of your life, right? Here, there's a growth opportunity. What lessons can we learn from what just happened? But you got to be willing to look at it, right? So, you know, I mean, I had become a treatment provider for the parole department. At that time, too, we were doing this. I started a business. We were doing the substance abuse classes for the parole department. So I had become an approved vendor for the Colorado Department of Corrections. And I was figuring out, like, this whole business of, like, billing Medicaid. It wasn't working out for me. And I didn't get it. It's a longer story. You know, there was really no accountability for the parolees. And I'm not a parole officer. And I couldn't make them come to class. But it was interesting. It introduced me to dealing with DOC, you know, with their headquarters, and I started learning business lessons, right? When I relapsed, also, I was working for that treatment provider. I was their first mobile recovery coach. And, you know, I realized I had relapsed actually before I started the job. And I told them that I relapsed. And I told them I was trying to still sell them on hiring me. I said, look, I'm going to have people that are relapsing, and it doesn't negate all the lessons I learned, all my recovery capital. So I have that much more now to bring to the table, but I only have like 4 days sober, right? And they were like, listen, they said,
I like the recovery capital and is not thinking of it as a sunk cost, right?
yeah. You know, it's like cash in the bank, like, right?
Yeah.
But basically they said, get a sponsor, work a program, call us in 90 days. If you get 90 days under your belt, we can, and they did, they hired me once I had 90 days, but then I went to work for them. And this is in 2020, the spring of 2020, and, you know, COVID's happening, and I'm just realizing like the bureaucracy of working for this treatment provider. Look, I'm in a small rural town. I've been working with parolees. I've been working as a volunteer in the jail. There's only one AA meeting in town. Like, you know, like it's a small recovery community. And basically it was like, if I had any pre-existing relationship with anybody, they couldn't be a client of mine. And so I wasn't allowed to like be of service to them. And so like I had people that I'd known for years that were like coming to me, and I'm like I started losing sleep, you know? And then I had guys calling me, men and women, you know, calling me like on the weekend, you know, like if somebody relapsed, you know, I invited somebody over to my backyard, like to sit, cause I was scared they might hurt themselves, you know, but I went and told my supervisor, and they're like, you can't do that, right? You can't, that's crossing boundaries. You can't just bring somebody to your house. And I'm like, well, like I know this guy's parents. I've known this dude for 10 years. You know, I'm just, so I, that's when I started thinking like, and they were like paying me like $17 an hour, you know, with, I was just, I would have done the job for free. I just wanted the experience, but I started losing sleep at night and I just thought, I can't do this.
The idea for Discovery Cafe came?
Yeah. Yeah. I had a pastor offer me, he had a commercial kitchen. Their church used to be a bowling alley. So there was like this space that had a commercial kitchen. And he said, why don't you sell coffee? And when guys are getting out of jail, if they need a job, you can give them a job and just open a little coffee shop. And I'll give you the space for free. Just make enough money to pay the light bill. And I, in my mind, you know, because I'm business minded, I'm thinking I can do recovery coaching here and we could do meetings. And this is perfect. And I created a business plan and I showed it to him to show his counsel. And he said, I think this is a great idea. I see where your heart is, but I really just want you to sell coffee. Like I just, you know, like, cause I know my counsel, I know this is, and this is coming. Well, and he's like, you know, this isn't another small town. He's like, we don't really have homeless people here. You're talking. So you're going to be bussing in, literally he said, bussing in drug addicts and homeless people. And then if they miss the bus, they're going to be stuck here. And like, he said, I know my counsel's not going to go for it. But he, you know, to his credit, he said Rifle could use a place like this. I don't know how you're going to do it. Rifle needs a place. Rifle was like another 15 miles down the road. You know, I prayed about it and I looked some stuff online of other models that were like this. And, I found a network that was doing it and it was called the Recovery Cafe Network. I don't know if you ever heard of them, but I had to buy into the network. And then like they had a model and they kind of trained you on their model, but they wanted me to have like a commercial kitchen and my model was different. I rented a storefront. I was just going to serve sandwiches. I just wanted to have a meeting, but I didn't know anything about getting grant money. I didn't know how I was going to like be able to make a living doing this.
You got a pretty big grant though, right?
Well, and so I originally applied for my first grant and it was through them and they gave me $50,000 with certain deliverables to get started. And I, you know, to their credit, it really got me started, right? The first building I rented when the neighbors found out what we were going to open there, And I called it, it was going to be Recovery Cafe, but because of the stigma behind the word recovery. Yeah. And it's an interesting story. I talk about it. Here's a shameless plug. I talk about it in my book.
Well, your book is about about business, right?
Well, it's basically about this story now of like how I started my peer recovery community organization, how to leverage your lived experience and create a new legacy. And if a guy like me can do it, after hearing everything you just heard, it's less about me and more about me starting this nonprofit. It was like, well, why do I need to start a nonprofit? How do I start a nonprofit? Oh, I need a board of directors for what? Like, what is a board of directors? So like, why do I need to answer to anybody? This is my idea, right? And they're like, well, no one's going to give a guy that's been to prison 7 times, you know, $100,000 grant and hope you to do the right thing with it. Right. So you need like vested people in the community. So I talk about that. Like this is a book I wish I would have had 5 years ago. Right.
And that's on Amazon now, right?
Yeah. It's available on Amazon and it takes you step by step lessons that I learned.
And we'll put the link for that below so that people can go ahead and get that.
Yeah. Like how to network with your local newspaper, how to get media coverage, right? How to apply for grants, how to hire staff. There's how to run group meetings. There's a bunch of stuff in the back. There's even places like questions for you to like the journal and take notes on the different topics. It could seem overwhelming. Like when you hear all the steps you need to take to start a nonprofit or start what we call a recovery community center, but it's doable. It's really not that difficult. One of the biggest lessons I learned is you don't have to know how to do everything. You just got to find the people that can do the things you don't know how to do, right? Sell yourself, tell your story, tell them why you have a heart to serve and ask for help. See if they'll get on board for your mission, you know?
Gabe, I want to ask you, you reconciled with your sons. Did you ever reconcile with your parents? Did you ever make it back there again?
Thanks, man. Thanks for that. You know, I did. And again, like, you know, I want to give credit to my current wife. You know, I think they loved her more than they loved me, right? They were just so happy that somebody loved me and was willing to take care of, willing to take care of me, willing to help me.
It depends on who you ask.
I said it, didn't I? I hope you can hear this because she's across the hall in her office. We actually work together now. She's my operations manager.
Great.
But yeah, you know, my mom passed away 10 years ago, but she had an opportunity to meet my wife, Amy, who's a saint and will be nominated for sainthood one day. and my son, our little boy. And so she was able to meet them. She passed away, you know, like, yeah, 10 years ago. And then my dad, I was able to reconcile a relationship with my father, which was great. You know, we got him in. He was still on Long Island, but he passed away 2 years ago at 91. And what a blessing to be at a position in my life where I was able to fly out there. I was literally holding his hand when he took his last breath, you know?
Beautiful.
And so, yeah, I'm glad I have that, you know?
That's
special.
A nice happy ending.
Yeah.
You know, and we got to, like, we went out, me and my son flew out to New York to surprise him on his 90th birthday. And I've been so blessed because, again, you know, I got out of prison in 2011, broke homeless, 40 years old, still went through it, started this nonprofit with no experience, no building, no grant money. Since we got that first grant in 2021, we actually got our first piece of it in 2021. We've and I don't say this to brag. I say it.
Is this the big grant you told me about?
Well, we've gotten several. Like, since we started, I tried to open in that building, and the landlord. I got my first taste of not in my backyard, right? And the neighbors put pressure on him. No, he dropped me from the lease before we even opened. And the newspaper article came out and was like, because I had a plumber go down to City Hall because we needed to put a special drain in to wash dishes. I was going to get a crock pot and just serve sandwiches. And I was going to try to, everything was going to be free. Everything we do at Discovery Cafe is free. We don't bill Medicaid. We're strictly work on grant and donations and mainly grants. And so when a newspaper article came out, the plumber went down to City Hall and they said, what's going in there? And then I got my first lesson on zoning. Like, it wasn't zoned for a nonprofit. Right. So then we had to have a special hearing at town hall, and then the neighbors, the landlord didn't want to go through with it. Man, I felt so defeated. Right. A newspaper article came out because I had been talking to a local reporter because I wanted him to, like, I wanted some coverage. Now I'm getting coverage that we're not opening because of the people that we're going to be serving. The dean of a local college here, a community college, Colorado Mountain College, said, hey, she sent me an email, told me to call her. She had an empty classroom on campus. Said, I don't know if this will work or not, but, you know, do you want to lease a classroom from us? I had access to a full gymnasium, the computer lab, you know. And so I bought five leather recliners, five leather chairs, and a Southwestern rug. And we moved the traditional classroom tables and chairs out of the way. And we opened Discovery Cafe in February 1st of 2021.
Awesome. Congratulations.
Yeah.
And then from there, we introduced, so we have what we call a discovery group, where we just talk about victories and maybe anything that we're going through, any trials or tribulations they want to talk about. It's not just for people in recovery. It could be, you know, if they're homeless or suffered any kind of trauma that you want to just come in, you need a safe place that's drug and alcohol free. We serve lunch, we serve coffee, and everything's free. Like, it's just, you know, and the people that work for me in the space now, in the beginning, I just had volunteers and me. Now I have a staff, but they were former members, like people that came in that got into recovery, and then we put them through recovery coach training, got them certified, and now they run the space for us. And then I introduced that concept to the Colorado Department of Corrections, the same prison system that I was in. And that's when we got our first real big grant. It was like for $400,000 to actually hire inmates. I proposed, like what if, kind of like work release, where guys go outside of the jail and go to work, but they have to sleep back in the jail. But what if we could pay these guys minimum wage while they're in prison, train them as recovery coaches, get them certified, teach them how to facilitate a discovery group? So I would go in there and do groups for about 6 weeks and look for talent. And then I would find guys who I felt like already made the changes on the inside and that I could trust. I applied for a grant to the Office of Behavioral Health, and we got it. And at one time, that grant just ran out on June 30th, but we had it for a couple years. But I was in five, our model was in five different prisons across the state, and I had 12 inmates working for me. Like, they were teaching our discovery recovery classes and facilitating our groups. And so that was a good run. And then I was able to purchase one house. I got grant money to build a little house on the property. We've secured over $2.2 million in grants and contracts since we started.
That's amazing.
You know, and I that's where I was going before. Like, somebody was like, do you really want to share that number? Cause then people are going to think you got enough money, and it might make it so you can't get more. Like, we don't have that much money in the bank. Like,
also, that money shows that the you're reliable and you're credible, right? You're getting the grants. You're being vetted, and
yeah,
you know, it's the money's going to a safe spot.
Absolutely,
right? Used right.
Well, you know, and so one of the first president of my board of directors, when I was like, hey, why do I need a board of directors, right? Like what is this? I became friends with one of the parole managers, parole officer, and so I got him on my board. Then I knew a guy from the sheriff's department. So now I got law enforcement officers on my board, you know, as well as, you know, somebody that worked at the hospital, right? And just vetted people in the community. It's really important, right? But what I found was you really want people that believe in you and your mission, and people that I respect and I trust that I feel have my best interests in mind. Because at the end of the day, what I found out is the board of directors can actually fire me.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. You better trust those people.
Better account for all that money, right?
Thanks for the opportunity. You know, anybody that needs any help or wants to get started, they can reach out to me. And my book's available on Amazon. So thanks for the opportunity.
And get a LinkedIn.
Yeah. Thank you so much. Great having you on.
Thank you so much for your time.
We thank everybody out there for joining us around the world. This is Josh and Heidi signing off. You guys be safe and sober out there. We'll see you on the next Spreading the Good Buzz, Monday and Thursdays at 1 p.m. Central. Thanks.
Thank you.
Everything from clothing to household items are getting more expensive each day. The world of fast fashion has complicated clothing production by outsourcing around the world to whoever can sew them the cheapest. And now you, the consumer, are paying the price with rising costs. American Giant is about keeping things simple and close to home. They aren't affected by tariffs because their products never leave the U.S. So when you buy from American Giant, you're taking a stand for hardworking people, local communities, and quality clothes. American Giant directly supports American manufacturers and ensures you aren't footing that tariff bill. Support American-made, tariff-free clothing with American Giant with American Giant. Get 20% off your first order when you use promo code STAPLE20 at American-Giant.com. That's 20% off when you use code STAPLE20 at American-Giant.com.
Lowe's knows how to get you ready for holiday hosting with up to 35% off select home decor. And get up to 35% off select major appliances. Plus, members get free delivery, haulaway, basic installation, parts, and a 2-year Lowe's protection plan when you spend $2,500 or more on select LG major appliances.
Valid through 10-1. Member offer excludes Massachusetts, Maryland, Wisconsin, New Jersey, and Florida. Installed by independent contractors. Exclusions apply. See Lowe's.com for more details.